Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the Air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 342 in the series. It's December 8th, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm just terrific.
Good.
We have three classic radio shows that will be here till 2 a.m. We're going to start things off on our classic radio agenda with Treasury Star Parade, starring Lionel Barrymore and Frederick March in a modern-day Scrooge from 1942. Terrific, very patriotic program. Then, one of the best Christmas episodes of suspense you will ever hear, Raymond Burr starring in Out for Christmas. And then Eve Arden stars as Connie Brooks on a Christmas episode of Our Miss Brooks. The Eddie Cantor show that we were going to play tonight had some digital glitch problems when we made the transfer, and so we'll bring that back another time after we correct that. So we will not have the Eddie Cantor show tonight. We're replacing it with Our Miss Brooks. We also have very special guest in the studio. Steve Darnall is here, and we're going to talk about Nostalgia Digest in just a bit. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Carl, good. How are you?
Oh, terrific.
Hi, Lisa.
Good
Hi,
to have Steve. You here. We're going to play our game. We're going to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? And we'll have a caller, and Steve will play along with us as well. What's the topic?
The celebrity is Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin. Yep. That's going way, way
it
back.
Sure is. You just never know. Mm-hmm. And the prize will be the highly coveted desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
All right. The number to call, and you can call right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Win a prize. Play the game live on the air. What caller would
We're
you like?
We're going to go with caller six.
Call now. We'll play the game after these words. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Let's
All
get
right,
ridiculous.
So we're going to get ridiculous. Yes. We've got Timothy on the phone. Hi, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Tim the cop.
Hi, Tim.
Fan.
How are you, man? How's it going?
Good enough.
All right.
Good. We're glad you were caller six. We're glad you're not sick and you're six. We're going to play with Carl, and we've got Steve here to play along with you. So it's going to be a party, okay?
All right.
The celebrity is Charlie Chaplin.
First time I've ever partied on duty.
It's That's right. All right, here's statement number one. His former home in Switzerland was converted into a vineyard. Is that real or is that ridiculous, Tim? What do you think?
I actually think that could be real.
It sounds real, but she's very sneaky, this Lisa Wolf.
It's not your turn. Right.
Very sneaky.
Let's go. Tim, what do you think, Steve?
I'm inclined to think it could be real.
Well, that's kind of vague. You're inclined to think it might be. So are you going to go with real?
Sure, let's
say
real.
All right, Carl?
I guess I'll go with the flow.
All right. It is ridiculous.
Oh,
it was converted into a museum. So that's close. Oh. A vineyard, a museum. It's almost the same thing. So you're almost right.
Well, in both cases,
See,
people
I told
go
you.
To spend the entire
I'll
day there.
Done, eh?
Exactly. Okay.
See, Tim, she's very sneaky.
I'm sneaky.
You learn a new thing every day.
That's right. That's what this
I'll
show is done. About. All right. Number two. His daughter portrayed his on-screen mother in the movie Chaplin. What do you think, Tim?
Yes.
You like that one?
Yeah, his I daughter? Think that's true.
His daughter portrayed his
true.
On-screen mother.
What do you think, Steve?
Oh, I go with Tim the cop.
All right, I'm going with Tim.
All right, Tim is right. That is absolutely true. Geraldine
right.
Chaplin portrayed
true.
His
wow.
mother. Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So you learned two new things tonight. And
I
the
hope
last
you can apply
one.
These things in your job.
Definitely. These are very applicable.
Next person you pull over, ask them that question. If they get it wrong, write them two or three tickets.
You tell them they should be listening to WGN Radio Theater.
Tonight. I'm not getting out of this car.
I don't blame you. All right, number three. Charlie Chaplin won third prize in a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest. Is that?
Oh, I know he didn't win. Wow. I'm going to say that's true because I heard about that.
All right. We'll go with real.
What do you
like
think,
that,
sir?
Steve?
Yes?
Yeah. Real?
Yeah, why not?
I go with real on that.
I mean, everyone seems to be such a good time agreeing.
That's right. That is real. That is actually true. So you got two out of three, and no matter what, you are a winner.
There we go.
Congratulations. You have won the exciting. It's the Desktop Indoor Weather Station. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. You can give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Thank you for calling and playing.
Go,
stay in your car and stay warm.
Be safe out there, buddy.
You guys are my favorite.
All right.
Thank you. It's great to hear from
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. All right. Well, we have Steve Darnall, and Steve has a radio show on WDCB, and he plays classic radio shows every Saturday afternoon, 90.9. Uh-huh. See, I listened. Steve,
I appreciate that.
Let me tell you something. You do an amazing job. Steve is a great broadcaster. He knows these classic radio shows. He is really a classic radio aficionado, and he puts out an incredible Nostalgia Digest. Now, I have been subscribing to the Nostalgia Digest, I bet you 30 years, maybe more. This is an amazing magazine. Lisa has one in her hands. I have the latest issue, the winter issue. And you have Jack Benny and Fred Allen on the cover.
Yeah, it's a great cover.
Well, just in time for the holidays, you know, peace on earth.
Yeah,
Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
Yeah, they were really good friends in real life,
but they really had
this radio feud, which really elevated both of their shows because they would talk about each other and kind of make fun and poke fun at each other on their shows, and it elevated both of their ratings. So tell us a little bit about Nostalgia Digest.
Sure, Nostalgia Digest. It's a 64-page quarterly magazine. It's dedicated to the golden age of entertainment. So every issue has articles about radio and movies and music and early television and sometimes just reflections on what life was like during that time. You know, in the current issue, we have an article about how people used to have to prepare their homes for winter. You know, in the days before central air.
Blue coal.
America's
finest anthracite.
Buy a ton of coal and have the coal man back it up to the coal chute.
A ton of coal. Yeah.
And, you know, and then, of course, you know, taking down the screen windows and putting up the storm windows and glazing the storm windows.
Sure.
All that stuff. So it's a little bit of history, and hopefully it's an entertaining kind of history, too.
Yeah. Well, this is a great magazine. There's no other magazine really like this magazine, and there's all kinds of fun articles about the Golden Age. But two of the most important things in this magazine is your schedule and my schedule.
That's right. That's right. We include the schedule.
Or our schedule, one of the
other. Right. The if you purchase Nostalgia Digest, you will find the schedule for what's coming up on Those Were the Days. And then when you turn the page, you'll find the schedule for what's coming up every weekend on the radio theater.
Yeah, you'll
never
miss
it. The good thing is you can actually listen to both of those shows.
Absolutely.
We do not conflict. We actually work well with one another.
No, we do play well with others. That's true.
We do. I don't know about Carl, but you and I play well with others. He's got his own sandbox across the way.
But no, that's the beautiful thing, and that's why I'm so grateful to you all for letting us include your schedule, because this is such an amazing city for old-time radio. I don't know if people out in Chicago realize that to have two shows that in the course of a weekend present 9 hours of these sounds, that's pretty unusual.
Oh, yeah, and very rarely do we play the same shows. I mean, it happens sometimes, but you have a huge collection, and so do I.
Sure.
And you just do such a great job, Steve, and I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of yours, and
well,
I listen to your show all the time.
You guys.
And this is a magazine that our listeners need to have, and you run a tremendous special that correlates to our show, and tell our listeners about it.
Absolutely. Now, we have subscriptions available. A one-year subscription is $17, and that's four issues. A 2-year subscription is $30 for 8 issues. And that's already a deal, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's the better value.
Indeed. But to add to that, if you go to NostalgiaDigest.com and buy a 2-year subscription, and in the comments mention WGN, we will include with your first issue a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas that Carl Amari did not too terribly long ago.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those are some of the sets that we have given away for prizes. Mm-hmm. And people have been asking for those all the time. I know we gave some away when we did our meet and greet.
Yeah.
And we give them away now and then when we give away our prizes. And that is that's a pretty great gift right there.
Well, absolutely.
You know, the value of the CDs is $27.99, so almost $30. So it's almost like you're getting the memberships for free, because it's $30 and you get a $27.99 CD set and the 8 issues of Nostalgia Digest.
Absolutely.
So
I dare say it makes a great gift for the nostalgia lover in your family. And of course,
no doubt.
And I mean, the winter issue, my goodness, you know, we've got an article about the Jack Benny Fred Allen feud. We've got an article about the making of Casablanca. We've got a great piece by
Lennon. Was Jack Benny in Casablanca?
You know, I think he was.
He had a little cameo or something in it,
yes,
right?
Yes, and different.
He doesn't speak in it, but
no,
I think
different
you see
people
him in
have
it, right?
Different opinions, and somebody told me that if you watch the scene, there are people walking back and forth in Rick's Cafe American, and one of them, it really looks like Jack Benny's walk. You know, where
he
cup
had
the hands behind him and do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's something to debate. And we've asked Jack's daughter, Joan, about that, and she seems to think that he's in it.
Yeah. He was around Warner Brothers at that
so
time.
It makes perfect sense.
Probably was, yeah.
That's
Lisa was in that movie, too.
Oh,
Yeah, I had a little cameo myself.
She played Humphrey Bogart's mother in that.
His mother, yeah. Yeah, that was my cameo. I just kind of...
Those aren't the jokes we rehearsed before we went on the air, just so everyone knows.
He doesn't do well with rehearsed jokes.
No, that's all right. But that's the thing, and that's why, you know, again, I'm so pleased for the chance to include the WGN Theater, Radio Theater schedule in here, because we've always maintained that nostalgia is a very broad umbrella. You know, it has room for a lot of people and a lot of topics, and... Yes, I love writing about radio, but I'm happy to say that if people come into this and they're not necessarily well-versed in old-time radio, there are articles about old movies. There are articles about old television. You know, there are articles about this star, that actor, that singer.
Well, I see a picture here of both Barrymores, John and Lionel Barrymore, and we're going to have Lionel Barrymore in our first show.
That's right.
But that's a great picture, because there they are in front of an NBC microphone, so they're performing something together, and you always have incredible pictures and articles, and then also your listeners write in to you.
Sure.
And you have like a mail section, and that's fun to read too. You can get back issues. You know, this is just a magazine. It's been around how long? When did the first
issue believe it or
come?
Not, this issue begins our 45th year.
45 years. Running strong, never missed an issue. You've been putting this out nonstop,
I've been publishing,
right?
Yeah, and I took over from the previous publisher, Chuck Shaden, in 2005. And, yeah, we've done 4 times a year ever since.
Amazing.
It's been great.
Well, folks, if you are not a subscriber of Nostalgia Digest, it's a very, very cool magazine. You'll love it. If you like this show, you'll love this magazine.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 2 years for $30 seems like a great value.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's December. What a great gift that would be to give to somebody, because it's not a one-time thing. They will enjoy that gift for months and months and months ahead.
Right, so. And you get the Twilight Zone set of CDs.
And you can keep that for yourself.
Yeah, now go to NostalgiaDigest.com, right?
NostalgiaDigest.com. Click on the 2-year subscription. Mention WGN. We'll send the first issue and the Twilight Zone CDs. If you're one of those people without a computer, you can give us a call at the office. It's 773-769-6575.
Let's write that down and we'll put it on our Facebook.
773-769-6575. I feel like I'm leaving a message for you.
And what
and
they would call like during the week for that?
If they call during the week, we should be around. And again, if you go in either case, just mention WGN when you buy the 2-year subscription, And the Twilight Zone CD set is yours absolutely free.
Wow, that's a great deal. All right, well, terrific Christmas present, too. And listen to Steve Saturday afternoons, 1 to 5, WDCB 90.9. I know by heart because I listen myself.
Oh, you're very kind.
And
thank you.
Plays great classic radio shows as well.
You can go from that right to WGN Radio Theater and have a great Saturday.
Well, you take a little break in between.
Have something to eat. Walk around the block or something. Walk the dog.
Well, come back.
Absolutely. All right, Steve, great seeing you, my friend.
Thank you, Carl.
Right.
Thank you,
Merry
Lisa.
Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Thank you
great
both.
To see you
it's
as
great
always.
To have you on the show.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tune in. Well, we'll go to news, and then we'll tune in to Treasury Star Parade. Stick around. After the news, we will tune in to a great Christmas show called A Modern Day Scrooge, starring Lionel Barrymore and Frederick March on Treasury Star Parade. We'll also tune in to Suspense tonight, and then our Miss Brooks. Thanks, David Jennings, and it is 11:35 on a Saturday evening.
And oh, thank you for the Christmas music, Shantae.
Great Christmas music.
It feels
Shantae
very festive
Garth,
in here.
Producer,
I'm looking at the I'm looking at the tree time wreath and the Christmas tree in the next studio, and I see Curtis in the way there. preparing for Dave Plyer's show coming up after us.
Yeah, Dave Plyer. It's a night of Carls because there's Carl Reiner is his guest. And you got
he's got many guests. He just doesn't
Carl
ever have
Reiner.
One guest.
Oh my gosh. I love Carl Reiner.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Oh my gosh. What a legend, what a genius.
And then there's Carl Amari, same thing, legend and genius. It's all in the Carl.
Okay, more.
It's all in the Carl.
Don't stop.
That's all you get.
Don't stop.
That's all you get.
All right, well, we'll be here till 2:00 in the morning, and we have a really fun radio show to start things off. Treasury Star Parade was a very patriotic series, Lisa. It came to radio in 1942, like right after we entered the war. World War II. It lasted till almost till the end of the war in 1944. And these were transcribed little 15-minute dramas. They were originally broadcast in New York, and then it switched over to Hollywood, and they went back and forth, New York and Hollywood, depending where the stars were. And this was a program that was produced by the Treasury Department to help stimulate sales of war bonds. Very important. War bonds helped us win the war. A 15-minute show carried on about 800 radio stations. This had a great following. The hosts were Henry Hull in New York and Paul Douglas in Los Angeles. The cast were really the biggest stars of radio and film. And the stories were original stories by top writers, and the theme song was Any Bonds Today by Irving Berlin. So you're going to like this. This has Lionel Barrymore in it, along with Frederick March. It's from Christmas Day, December 25th of 1942. It's called A Modern Day Scrooge. We'll listen to this uninterrupted, a 15-minute show. You ready?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you know that there's a fun fact about this up on our Facebook page, and there's a photo as well. He does kind of look like Scrooge in the picture. Check it out on our Facebook
page. Oh, yeah, he played Scrooge a lot on radio.
I can see why.
Yeah, you're going to like this. Here, let's tune it in. Treasury Star Parade.
The Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with David Brokman and his orchestra, Frederick March, J. Donald Wilson, and Lionel Barrymore, and Noel Houston and Joseph Roskell's version of A Modern Scrooge.
This is Frederick March, ladies and gentlemen, in another of the programs brought to you by the Treasury Department. How many of you remember Dickens' A Christmas Carol? You all do, of course. Well, today we've got a story for you that's a little reminiscent of it. Our central character is old Jeb Creaker, the biggest grouch in Mohawk, a Scrooge, skinflint. In short, a trying neighbor.
I am what I am, the biggest tire dealer this side of Glen Cove Springs. And by my own effort.
Jeb never married, of course. Women? He had his own ideas about them.
Ain't worth the keep, if you want to know my opinion.
Twilight baseball?
I voted again it, and by gad, I'll do it again.
Mrs. Appleby's dog?
Ought to lock him up. Muzzle won't do. I'll go to court about that.
And as to war bonds, well, just listen. Pete Brady, the postmaster, was incautious enough to mention the matter while Jeb was stopping by for his mail one day.
Now, you mind your own business, Pete Brady, and let me take care of mine.
All right, Jeb. Consider I never mentioned it. Just ask, because Well, you're about the only one in town hasn't. Now take Jim Millock here. Just bought his fifth.
Sixth, Pete. Darn good items to collect these days. Best investment in the world. Loosen up, Jeb. You can afford it. Buy and sell the town if you want to.
You keep out of this, Jim Millock. Lot you know what I can afford. How'd you like to be in tires? Priorities, Lord. Besides, I didn't ask for this war.
Didn't any of us ask for it, Jeb. But I reckon we better have the answer for it.
Only takes 1875 for a war bond, Jeb.
Only?
That'll buy a lot of things. Uncle Sam's a-needin' mighty bad.
Such as?
Well, such as army shoes and socks, I reckon.
Warm gloves, maybe.
Machine gun cartridges.
Buy all that for who?
Some soldier.
Maybe for your own nephew, Pearly, Jeb.
Now, you leave my nephew out of this. The less said about that scamp, the better. And since you're so smart, I'll tell you something else 1875 will buy. It'll pay my grocery bill for a month. It'll buy me a new drain pipe for the house, 2 tons of coal, 3 pairs of shoes, new upper teeth.
War bond.
All the way home, Jeff kept muttering to himself. And when he got home, he was still boiling. He sank wearily into a parlor chair and talked a blue streak to himself. You see, Jeb lived alone. He ate alone, slept alone, planned alone, and talked to himself.
My nephew, Pearly. If David hadn't been so free with his money, he wouldn't have left Pearly without no money when he died. None of my responsibility. Only 1875. Only.
And that's the way the evening went. Outside, a storm was coming up. Jeb Creaker prepared to go to bed. He put on his nightshirt, turned down the covers. But before he turned out the light, he did a strange thing. He counted out $18.75 from his wallet, laid it on his night table, and stared at it intently, grumbling all the while.
Only? That's a heap of money.
There was a distant rumble of thunder. Jeb shivered, turned off the light, climbed into his creaky bed.
Sure. Another thing, 1875 would buy a new set of springs for this bed.
With that, Jeb Creaker was off to sleep and his dreams. But Jeb had eaten cucumbers for supper, and they never did agree with him.
Bond's priorities. Pearly.
Jeb Creaker. Jeb Creaker.
What's that? Ah, must be dreaming.
There isn't much time. There isn't much time.
Who's in this room? Who are you? Ah, it must be the wind.
No time. No time. No time.
Say, who are you? Why do you keep on saying that?
Don't you know me, Jeb?
No, no, no.
Don't you recognize me, Jeb?
Merciful heavens. You look like...
Yes, I am.
No, 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 you can't be. Not David.
Yes, David. Your brother, David.
But you're dead. You can't come back like this, David. It's indecent. 13 years.
I had to come back, Jim. My boy, Pearly.
Yes. A fine lad. A fine lad.
You didn't take care of him, even though you gave me your solemn promise on my deathbed.
Davy, listen to me now, please. Don't be hard on me, Davy. You know I ain't got much. Priorities and all got me. Don't come near me, Davy. Don't come near me. Don't you touch me. Get away from that table. Leave my money alone.
You didn't do right by my boy, Pearly.
What's all this got to do with my 1875? What's one thing got to do with...
Everything, Jeb. Everything.
Hey, come back here with that money. Come back here.
There's no time. No time.
Help! Help, please!
Jeb, in hot pursuit, scrambled out of his bed after the strange apparition, out of the window and into the night.
Stop thief! Stop thief!
No time. No time. No
time. What a silly answer. My feet!
As Jeb cried out with pain, he realized in grave dismay that he was running through the streets in his bare feet, wearing only his nightshirt.
I can't look at me.
But he couldn't stop now. On and on they went until they came to a beautiful white building with a high dome. And David flew up an enormous flight of stairs. After him panted a winded Jeb.
Stop! Stop, I say!
Up until he was ready to collapse. The steps seemed to reach to heaven. And at the top, Jed caught his breath and looked about him.
Where is he? Where'd he go? Jack, this is the United States Congress. And me in my nightshirt. Suffering cats.
Suddenly, he saw his eerie brother dart into a vast room filled with men in tumultuous debate. Jeb didn't dare go in. He was hardly dressed for the occasion.
And I say to you, the army appropriation is imperiled. We must get more money. This bill is in grave danger.
The bill must pass. The safety of our country is at stake.
It must go through.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen of the Congress, I have here $18.75 of Jeb Krieger's to be appropriated.
No, 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 stop. He stole that money. It's mine.
Thank God.
There stood Jeb behind the door in split nightshirt and bare feet, screaming furious.
No, no. Why don't somebody listen to me? That's my money and I want it back. I protest. I protest.
Old Jeb Krieger was fit to be tied. The bill passed, a slip of paper was given to David, who sped off like the wind, a night-shirted Jeb on his coattails racing through space again.
David, wait!
On and on until finally they arrived at a huge, unlighted building, a silent, sprawling giant. David raced silently through the high gates, but by the time a weary Jeb entered, the building was suddenly ablaze with lights, and the voice of the foreman could be heard shouting excitedly to his men.
All right, boys. Messengers just arrived from Congress. The new appropriation's been passed. Speed her up. We've got to turn out cartridges and how.
Percussion cap. Powder igniter. More nitrogen.
Speed her up. Hurry, hurry. It's getting late.
David, why do you do this to me?
Cordite shot.
Shell loon bag.
Belt wad. Speed her up. Speed her up.
David. I wronged, I admit it. I did neglect Burley, but I ain't got much priorities, no.
Hurry, hurry. It's late, it's late.
Lubricating lid.
Brass case.
Brass case.
Brass case. Hurry, foreman, hurry. There isn't much time. Okay, here's the first box of cartridges just off the assembly line. It's yours.
No, no, don't take it. That's my money. He stole it.
But off again flew the ghost that was David, with a desperate Jeb at his heels. And they seemed to be flying right into the storm. On and on they raced. And soon a heavy mist appeared. And then it turned to dust and smoke. And the earth became charred. And barbed wire was everywhere. And suddenly, there was a whistling sound, a roar. And the world around them exploded in an inferno of cannon and machine gun fire.
Burley! Burley!
David!
God,
David!
It's not too late.
This is a battlefield. Well, what are we doing here in my nightshirt? For God's sake, answer me.
Hey! Hey, you guys back there! Hurry up with those cartridges!
Who is that?
What's keeping you? Bring up those bullets!
I know that voice. Who is it?
Look, over there, Jim. See that machine gun nest? Those dead bodies lying around? And look, that gunner, all alone. His machine gun empty.
What are you doing? It's Burley! It's Burley!
Hurry up with that ammunition! They're coming at me with bayonets! I can't stop without ammunition!
He's calling for bullets, man alive! Why aren't you taking the bullets?
I haven't got any bullets.
Yes, you have, right in that box!
Not anymore, Jeb. Look!
Money.
Your money.
Greenbacks.
Yours.
Silver.
Yours. 1875.
Take it! Hurry! Hurry!
But I don't want the money here! Take it and give me the bullets!
I'm sorry, Jeb. Money can't buy bullets on a battlefield.
Hurry! For God's sake, hurry!
Mark, we can't stand here and watch him die, Davy. He's your son. He's my own flesh and blood. He can't fight without bullets.
Even if we had him, who'd take him to him?
I would. I'd crawl to him. Yes, I would. I'd crawl to him.
Then, whichever you want most, you'll find in that box, Jeb Krieger. Goodbye.
No, don't go, Davy. Don't go and leave me here alone in this.
For God's sake,
bullets.
Hurry up with that ammunition.
Hold on, Burley. Hold on. I'm coming, boy.
Somebody bring me the ammunition.
I'm bringing you your cartridges, boy. See?
Why don't you?
Here they are. I'm bringing them. Here they are, boy. Here's your bullets. Take them.
I thought you'd never get here, Uncle Jeb. Thank God you made it in time. Now watch me.
That's it, boy. Give it to him. Give him the handle. Give him the handle.
Any mail for me this morning, Pete?
Let's see, Jim. Millock. Nope, not a thing. Morning, Jeb Krieger.
Morning, Jeb.
Morning.
Looking kind of peaky, Jeb. Have a bad night?
Yeah, something I had to guess. Pete, here's a package I once sent out to my nephew, Pearly. Some warm gloves and socks and such.
Why, Jeb!
Well, what in thunder you gaping at? Can't I look out for my own kith and kin without you gawking? I want you to fix me up about $500 worth of them war bonds.
$500?
And look here. Don't you go telling everybody I gone soft. This is strictly a present from my nephew, Pearly. I'm still keeping my money in the family.
You never said truer words, Jeb. It's being kept in the family.
Yes, Jeb Krieger's the finest old guy in Mohawk these days. And don't let his gruffness fool you for a minute.
I am what I am. The best air warden this side of Glen Cove Springs.
Twilight baseball?
Wonderful sport. Wonderful. Good for the morale.
Mrs. Appleby's dog?
Nicest mutt in town. Well curbed.
And as for war bonds, just listen.
Darn good items to collect these days. Best investment in the world. I'm getting in on them. I wished all you would.
Yes, the purchase of war bonds has become the most important objective in the life of Jeb Krieger and millions of other Americans who are now investing at least 10% or more of their total incomes in war bonds and stamps. 10% or more of your income invested in war bonds and stamps is your personal quota. Put your fighting dollars out there on the battlefront beside our fighting men. Join a payroll savings plan where you work and pledge yourself to top that 10% today. This is Larry Elliott speaking, and may I remind you again that this is your country. Keep it yours.
The United States Treasury Department thanks the distinguished artists who gave their talents to this performance. Mr. Frederick March, Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the Hollywood Victory Committee, through whose courtesy these appearances are made possible, and this station for the use of its facilities. The orchestra and chorus were under the direction of David Brokman, production by William A. Bacher, and this is Paul Douglas speaking.
There it is, Treasury Star Parade. That was from Christmas, December 25th, 1942. So we were in World War II a little over a year at this time because we entered the war in December of 41. So this was just a little over a year later. Very patriotic program. You had Lionel Barrymore along with Frederick March, and this aired on about 800 radio stations back then. This was on every week, Treasury Star Parade. Very, very cool show to raise money for the war and asking people to buy war bonds. And Eddie Cantor was a big part of that. And we were going to play an Eddie Cantor show tonight. Unfortunately, there was some digital issue, sound problems with it. So we'll get a better quality dub of that, and then we'll air it at a later date. Still to come tonight and into tomorrow morning, we will have Suspense starring Raymond Burr. I promise you, you will really, really like this episode of Suspense. It's called Out for Christmas from 1958. Raymond Burr, good old Ironside, and good old Perry Mason. Remember him as Perry Mason. He will star in Suspense. Then a little later, Eve Arden stars in Our Miss Brooks. We have a text in line here. We didn't talk about it earlier, Lisa.
I was trying to get a word in. I couldn't find a spot.
I'm very talky. I'm very talky tonight.
Just a little. It's okay.
I'm in a good mood.
I know.
I'm in a very
That's
good mood.
That's good. I'd rather have it that way. I'm not complaining.
I'm in a very good mood. What's the number of the text in line?
312-981-7200.
Here, I give you a chance to talk.
Well, I thought you were going to grab it.
And then it's like, ribbit, ribbit.
Because jump, you generally jump in on it, so I was allowing
you to. Go
ahead.
What's the text in line?
I said it already.
What is it?
It said it. I'm not going to say it again.
I'm going to say
it. We also have a Facebook page.
You
so
didn't
you,
say it.
Yes, I did.
The whole thing.
I said the whole thing.
I'm going to have Shante
I said
play
all
back.
10 numbers.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to go to break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Our spin on the beloved classic film, just in time for the holidays. Tune in Friday, December 14th, 10 a.m. to noon for the live radio play, It's a Wonderful Life, presented by American Sale and performed by WGN Radio's hosts and reporters. Details at WGNRadio.com.
What are you playing in that, Lisa? What role are you playing?
I do not know yet, but I will be there.
Are you like a partridge in a pear tree or one of those?
Probably like the third tree on the right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know yet. I will be doing... What are you doing, Carl?
I don't know. I mean, I'm directing it. Or helping direct it. There's going to probably be directing committee, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know what part I'm playing, but you're playing a part.
Yeah, I'll be there. I don't know what it is yet, but when I do, I will shout it from the
rooftops.
And
that's Friday it airs at like 10?
Friday. It's during Bill and Wendy, so it's from 10 till
make sure
noon
you listen,
on
folks.
Friday. So
it's
we
a
will be
life.
There. Carl will be there. I will be there. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's always fun.
It's a wonderful
You know what
life.
Else is fun? Joining the Classic Radio Club, because now you can get a digital subscription. You don't have to get the CDs. I mean, I like CDs, but we really want you to join the club, folks. I think you'll have a great time. And you can get CDs sent to your home, or you can join the digital option. Just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. That's our website, ClassicRadioClub.com. I have over 100,000 classic radio shows direct from the master recordings, and I am choosing 10 shows every single month from this library. Really the best and the best sound quality, the biggest names, and the best shows in the library, and I'm putting them on 5 CDs, 10 shows on 5 CDs, and we have them professionally duplicated. They're not burned CDs. They're duplicated at a factory, and they are put in a case, in a really nice case, and sent to your home, and you can join for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling the first month. Then, you know, then it increases a little bit. It's $10 more. It's $14.99 per month after that. But for only $9.99 a month, and you don't pay any shipping and handling, you can get a digital subscription, and you'll get them every month digitally sent to your email, and you can play them on any listening device. You'll also get the liner notes sent in a PDF, because I'm writing very copious liner notes and fun facts about each one of these shows. So learn all about the Classic Radio Club by going to ClassicRadioClub.com, ClassicRadioClub.com. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that have signed up. We'd love you to be a member as well and get 10 of the greatest radio shows sent to you every single month. Okay, in our next hour, we will tune into suspense. I promise you, it's going to be one of the best suspense stories you've ever heard. It's a very, very heartwarming drama at Christmas time, but it's also very suspenseful. Raymond Burr, you know, good old Raymond Burr stars in that, Lisa.
I do remember Ironside. I wasn't a big fan of the show, but I do.
Ironside?
I do remember the show.
Yeah. And then there was a reboot of Ironside. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, with Blair Underwood, who starred in a whole bunch of Twilight Zones for me. And then he also was in two or maybe three of my audio Bible projects as well. Great actor, great guy. And that show did not do well, though. It was, I think it only lasted one season. But Ironside with Raymond Burr lasted quite a few years on television. And you'll hear him in a terrific episode of Suspense. Then in our third hour, Eve Arden stars as everyone's favorite school teacher, Connie Brooks, on a Christmas episode of Our Miss Brooks. Okay, so stick around. Much more classic radio coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is officially Sunday morning. Happy Sunday, Lisa.
Happy Sunday.
And we are going to be listening to a tremendous episode of Suspense. It's one of my favorite suspense stories.
I'm so excited.
It's Christmassy, yet it's still suspenseful. And it's got a, just a, it's a really heartwarming story.
I like a little, you know,
it's a little
spin.
Of everything.
I don't like the too, when they're too sweet.
Yeah,
you know,
no, this one isn't. This is edgy.
Yeah, I need a little edge to it.
this is edgy, and Raymond Burr is really good
right.
in it. And then a little later, our Miss Brooks. So that's our lineup coming up in just a few minutes. We'll start that. But right now, we're going to play our Cat's Pride Real or Ridiculous game.
The celebrity is Paul Newman.
Okay.
You've heard of him.
Yes.
And
he's got a whole line of sauces.
Yes, he does.
And I think he did a little acting.
Yes, he did.
His,
he's got
lifetime
some, and he's
as well.
Got some blue eyes. Just
yes,
saying.
He does.
And the prize will be the Never Measure.
Oh.
We love wanting, the Never Measure.
I have zero pull at this radio station.
That is true.
Because I have been trying to get a Never Measure forever.
Well, I
Lisa
have
got one,
one for sale.
Lisa was able to get one.
You can send the big bucks over, and I'll lend it to you.
I have zero clout at the station. I have been begging for a Never Measure.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, you can get yours at nevermeasure.com.
Okay,
you just have
that's
to,
I'll have to do that,
I guess.
You're
just going to have to take out the credit card,
I will.
Afraid.
I'll pull it out.
Pull it out.
Take that credit card. Just type in those numbers.
Oh, I'm sure you know them by heart.
I've bought a lot of things online lately. It works. You know that? You
yes,
can go
I do
online
know that.
And use your credit card, and it's the weirdest thing. You just hit send and this and that, and it comes
that
in the mail.
Is the
comes
whole,
in the mail.
That is what Amazon is based on,
mm-hmm.
which is quite a profitable company.
All right. So what caller did you want?
We're going to go with caller 5.
Caller 5.
312-981-7200. Call now.
You say 7200. I say 7200.
I do.
7200.
I do.
All right.
I'm sure mine's right.
It's probably better because it's like 720, you know. Like,
I think it just it's smoother off the tongue. 7200.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, try.
I'm gonna stick with 7200.
Really?
I don't know. I'll see. Maybe
right,
you can
try
talk
it
me
my
to
way it. And see how it feels.
All right, call us now. Play the game. We'll be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get
ridiculous. And we have Sandra on the line. Hi, how are you? Where's
how
Sandra?
Are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
Good, good. So glad you made it through. We're going to play a little Paul Newman Real or Ridiculous. Ready to go?
Yeah, I'm going right. to try.
All right. Well, Carl is an excellent lifeline.
Yeah.
And I say that with no sarcasm. So we'll see. So he'll be your little helper. Okay, number one, Paul Newman. Prior to acting, he worked at his family's sporting goods store. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's real.
Is that real, Carl?
Oh, man, she sounded like she knew
she
the
sure
answer.
Did.
I mean, she was like, no hesitation.
She sure did.
Wow. So if she's in no hesitation, I'm going to go with her. Yes.
You are right. See, she knows Paul
wow.
Newman. That is absolutely true. He
I was going to say ridiculous.
I know
but
you were.
She was so, she was just so convicted about
who is
it.
Who she?
That's Sandra.
I know. Okay.
She had complete faith that he worked in that store. So.
All right, Sandra.
All right.
Paul Newman made his Broadway debut in A Midsummer Night's Dream in 1954. Is that real or ridiculous?
Uh-oh. I'll take a break at it. Maybe real.
All right.
So the question is...
He made his Broadway debut in A Midsummer Night's Dream in
1954. I'm going to say ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. He did make
Carl.
His Broadway debut in 1953 in the show called Picnic. So, so close, so close. Okay.
Yeah. She's very sneaky, Sandra.
I know, I
gotta
am.
Got to be careful because she...
I like to be sneaky to Carl, not so much to you, Sandra.
Mm.
Okay, Sandra, in 1995, he ranked as the 12th sexiest celebrity in 100 Sexiest Stars by Empire Magazine. Is that real or ridiculous?
Empire Carpet or
nope,
Empire Magazine?
12th sexiest celebrity.
That's real.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's real.
She knows her stuff. That
yeah.
is real. You are absolutely right. And Sandra, you are a great player, and you have won the Never Measure, the one that Carl will never have. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions, because that's hard to do.
I can't do fractions.
I know. Veteran-owned, made in the USA. You can get yours at nevermeasure.com. I actually not only have used it, I posted some pictures of my husband and I actually hanging pictures in my house with the Never Measure. He loves it.
You don't have your, you don't have like people do that? You pay people to do it?
No, I'm good
because
at that.
You can do that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, with the Never Measure, it's nothing.
Oh, well, I guess
you
so.
Can easily
if I had a Never Measure, I could do it.
Well, I have one
but
for
I
sale.
But I don't, and she won't let me even borrow it, Sandra.
It'll cost you the big bucks, but Sandra has one now, so you can borrow it from her.
Okay. Okay? Sandra, I'm going to be knocking on your door. I might need to borrow it.
All righty.
Take care. Thank you for playing.
Thanks, Sandra.
And I hope you love your Never Measure.
Take care. All right, well, we are going to now listen to Suspense. This was a great mystery series. We play a lot of them here on the WGN Radio Theater because there was like 980 episodes or something. We have most all of them, and they're always in good quality. They started, this show started on CBS in 1942, lasted all the way to 1962. So it was on the air a long, long time. And really the biggest names in Hollywood, I'm talking about major movie stars, appeared on the show. They used to love being on Suspense because it was the top mystery show of all the radio mystery shows, and it was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills, very suspenseful dramas, and it also made a transition to television in 1949. I have tons and tons of TV episodes on Kinescope of Suspense. It just is not anywhere near as good as the radio show. I mean, the radio show was great, as you're going to hear on this particular episode, starring Raymond Burr from December 21st, 1958, a heartwarming but yet edgy drama on Suspense called Out for Christmas. Here's Raymond Burr in Suspense.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
We who are in the business of keeping you in suspense find ourselves in a quandary at this time of the year. The elements of suspense, murder, mayhem, and macabre mischief, are awkwardly out of place at this festival of peace and love. Yet that first Christmas was full of suspense. There was the problem of lodgings for the delicate mother that chill evening when there was no room at the inn. And there was great mystery when suddenly the star appeared in the east. Finally, there was the magnificent climax and happy ending when the three kings of the Orient arrived at last bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We feel that we cannot improve upon this tale, so we will bring you another, along with our best wishes for a most merry Christmas. Listen. Listen, then, as Mr. Raymond Burr stars in Out for Christmas, which begins in just a moment.
Here's actress Joan Bennett.
It's terrible to try to act with a dreadful cold. To feel better quickly, I take four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress.
Yes, tests of four leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting of all. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve aches, pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When you catch cold, try my way. Take four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve cold distress.
Four-way, 29 and 59 cents.
Here's a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Had dandruff for years? Now get rid of it in 3 minutes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair. Rub in 1 minute. Add water. Lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch. Embarrassing dandruff's gone. Fitch can also leave hair up to 35% brighter. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today.
And now, Out for Christmas, starring Mr. Raymond Burr. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I hadn't figured on being out for Christmas, but my prison record paid off. Takes a lot of good behavior to knock time off and an armed robbery and assault rap, but I was a good boy, model prisoner. Took everything they threw at me with a... not exactly with a smile. I don't smile much. But I took it without griping, so I'm out for Christmas. And Christmas is as good a time as any for what I gotta do. The town will cruddy. We got phony tin Christmas trees in the lampposts along the main drag and colored lights all over the joint and Christmas carols screeching at you from loudspeakers everywhere. Even the saloons got red and green streamers all over the place and the bar mirrors all frosted like snow. And a big bowl of slop called Tom and Jerry they're pushing.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
What'll it be? A little Christmas cheer? Hot Tom and Jerry, maybe?
Ain't you got any whiskey?
Oh, sure. We got whiskey.
Give me a straight shot.
Okay.
Can't you get anything on that jukebox but them Christmas carols?
What's the matter? Don't you like carols?
Oh, they stink.
You won't think so after you get a couple of belts under your belt.
Do you think so?
Sure. It's Christmas, man.
Yeah, so I heard. That tastes good. Real good.
Say, you look sort of familiar. Don't I know you from someplace?
I was wondering how long it'd take.
Yeah, the voice is familiar, and your eyes sort of...
Joe Watson.
Joe, I heard you was going to get out soon. Charlie Jones told me. But I didn't know you'd be out for Christmas.
Yeah, they got big-hearted.
Say, you put on a little weight. Yeah, that's why I didn't recognize you.
30 pounds, prison child.
But you look real good, Joe, real good.
Yeah. Hey, where is Charlie? He been in tonight?
Not yet, but he'll be around probably.
Gotta see him. You know where he's living at?
Yeah, he's got a room over on 4th Street.
Room? I figured he'd be living in a flop house.
Oh, not Charlie. He's doing okay since he got out. Got a steady job. How about you, Joe? You got a job lined up?
Yeah, I got a job lined up.
A good job?
It'll be good. As good as I can make it.
The last minute shopping really got you down? Are you dashing and prancing all over the town? You bought a lot of presents and you still have lots to go? Well,
go, 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 get a Scripto.
You don't have to know a size, you don't worry about the fit. A new Scripto pen or pencil always makes a hit. For mom or dad or sister, Aunt Jane or Uncle Joe.
Go, 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 get a Scripto. Go, 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 get a Scripto. Get a Scripto.
Here's the easy, convenient way to finish all your Christmas shopping in a matter of minutes with Scripto pens and pencils, available at stores everywhere. All Scriptos, costing a dollar or more, are handsomely gift-boxed. See the famous Scripto Satellite. The Satellite outrights any other pen you've ever used. Costs only $1.95. Enjoy one-stop gift shopping.
Go, 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 get a Scripto.
Give a Scripto.
Scripto.
And now, starring Mr. Raymond Burr, Act Two of Out for Christmas.
They even had this rooming house where Charlie was staying, loused up for Christmas. There was a moth-eaten poinsettia wreath in the door and red and green lights in the landlady's window. Charlie's room was on the fourth floor at the back.
Joe!
Yeah.
Oh, so they let you out for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, come on in. Gee, it's good to see you, Joe.
Good to see you, Charlie. Say, what you got there?
Oh, that's an electric train. Just a minute, I'll turn it off.
Electric train, what for?
Oh, my sister's kid. That's all he talks about for Christmas, an electric train. So I got him one at a discount at the place where I work, but I wanted to see if it works okay. You know how it is.
Yeah. So what's the idea of the Christmas tree?
Well, living by myself and all, I thought I'd have my own tree. It's just a little one.
You lost your marbles?
Well, it's Christmas, Joe.
Guys in cell block 4 ought to see you now playing with electric trains into your own Christmas tree.
And I bet they'd like to be doing the same thing.
Not me. Did you check up on Malloy like I asked you to?
Yeah. Yes, he's still on the police force.
Good. You got a gun?
No, I don't have no use for guns anymore.
Know where I can get one?
Well, sure, I guess I could locate one.
Well, I told you to. In my last letter, I told you. Get a gun for me, I said.
Yes, I know, Joe, but look, pal, I thought that... Well, I hope maybe you'd change your mind.
Charlie, from the day he testified against me, I swore I'd get him. His testimony did it, you know. That's what convicted me. He sent me up.
He had to testify the way he did.
He didn't have to be so convincing.
But Joe, what good'll it do? You'll only get the chair.
I'm not afraid of the chair. I've seen enough of life. It stinks. I ain't in love with it. I'd just as soon leave it so long as I take that rat with me.
But it ain't only him, Joe.
What do you mean?
He's married now.
You kidding? What kind of a dizzy broad would want him?
You ain't gonna like this, Joe.
Ain't gonna like what?
The dizzy broad that married him is Lucille.
Lucille? My Lucille.
That's right. I'm sorry, Joe.
Funny. Yeah, real funny. She wrote me. She couldn't wait for me no longer. You remember when I got the letter.
I remember.
But she didn't say who it was. She never answered my letters after that. Oh, that lousy double cross.
Well, you went up for 10 to 20, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess she never counted on me making it in 8 and time off for good behavior.
But 8 years is a long time for a young girl to wait, Joe.
Mike Malloy's a fine guy to throw me over for. Well, makes it dandy. Double dandy. It'll be a pleasure to kill them both.
Oh, how can you talk that way, Joe? It's Christmas.
Christmas is for people who don't know no better. Kids and idiots.
Oh, Joe, listen to me now. Forget all about Malloy and Lucille. You got a chance to make a new life for yourself. Like I'm doing. I can get you a job where I'm working. I'm sure I can.
What are you doing?
I'm Santa Claus in the toy department at Brighton's department store.
Ain't no future in that. You're going to be out of work day after tomorrow.
No, I'm not. They promised to keep me on.
Doing what? Minding the reindeer?
Well, Mr. Brighton believes in giving guys like us a chance. And that's why I'm sure that you can get a job there. You come down tomorrow and talk to him.
I'll talk to him after Christmas.
Hey, good. Or say, how about coming over to my sister's house for Christmas dinner day after tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, I might even do that.
Good. You see, Joe, there ain't no sense in carrying around hatred in your heart, especially at Christmas time. So let Malloy and Lucille have their Christmas in peace.
They'll have their Christmas, all right. Their last Christmas.
But then it'll be your last one, too.
I just got to figure different. Never mind the gun. I'll get my own gun tomorrow. But there is one thing I want from you.
What's that, Joe?
Tomorrow night, I want to borrow your Santa Claus suit.
All right. This is a good show, right, Lisa?
This is getting good.
Yeah, man. He
a good twist there.
Gets out for Christmas to kill the cop that sent him up, finds out the cop is now with his girlfriend. Oh, boy. And he's going over there to kill them both.
Well, don't say any more.
Ooh. And he's going to borrow a Santa Claus suit.
Yeah, I heard that.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. So you're digging this episode of Suspense, Lisa?
I'm digging it, Carl. Gee whiz.
All right. Well, we have news here, and then we'll come back with more Suspense.
Wonderland.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate you. And I appreciate you, Lisa. This is a time when you need to appreciate everybody. It's Christmas time.
I think you should appreciate everybody all year long. And
I knew you were going to say that.
You did?
Yeah.
But it's true.
I can read your mind. I've known you so long now, I can read your
mind.
Well,
it's true. It's just a reminder, but it's nice to appreciate people all of the time.
I do.
And I don't just mean
I do,
you and
but
me.
But you should extra appreciate people around
Christmas
time. Nope,
you should
time.
Extra appreciate everybody all year.
Alrighty.
You're not going to win here.
Listen, Blanche Bickerson.
That's for sure.
You know, Christmas time is my favorite time of the year.
I know it is.
I love playing Christmas radio shows for our listeners. And then, of course, I love Halloween.
I know.
I like to play the scary stuff.
And you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun doing It's a Wonderful Life, the radio show on Friday, during the Bill and Wendy show from 10 to 12, we will be there, and some of your other favorite radio hosts
I found
will be
out
there as
that
well.
You're playing a bell.
A bell?
Can you make the sound of a bell? You have,
you know what?
Two bell sounds.
I will do whatever they ask me to do with a smile on my face.
No, you're going to play something interesting in it, I'm sure.
Well, I hope so, but no matter what, I will be there.
And professional radio actress.
Well, that's
You've been
for
in
certain.
Twilight Zone radio dramas and Fangoria's Dreadtime stories, and you
that's
were in
true.
My Bible project.
Yes.
You are a radio drama actress.
That's true.
You know?
So I hope that the powers that be realize that all the talent
just oozing,
that I have
oozing
out of my body.
Just oozing with talent.
Exactly.
Sort of like the wild root cream oil
that oozes out of me as well.
Off your hair.
That's right.
And speaking of wild root cream oil, this suspense has quite a few commercials we left in there, and they're fun because 1958 there was kind of singing fun commercials like Fit Shampoo and Scripto Pens. There's a Tums commercial coming up. There was four-way cold tablets. You know, by the 1950s it wasn't one sponsor anymore. Remember,
right.
like Johnson's Wax was the sponsor of Fibber McGee and Molly or Lucky Strike or whatever it was. But by the 50s they were like, well, one sponsor can't afford to do this anymore. We need four or five sponsors. Like, you watch TV now, and there's 9 trillion commercials.
Yes, there sure are. That's why we have to fast forward.
That's why DVR. I like DVR.
You know how to use that?
Yes, I do. I mean, there's some things I can use.
It's good.
And I'm believing now, for a long, long time, I believe that apps were a conspiracy. But now I do believe they are real. I didn't believe they were real.
Well, that's because you're starting to appreciate some of the things that you can do with that technology.
I have two apps on my phone.
I know.
Actually,
I put them there.
Yeah, two apps. One is Spot Hero. I use that. I can actually use that.
Yes.
Park.
We park.
Find places to park.
Uber.
I have Uber. And I can actually use that. And then, of course, I have our old-time radio app. You know, we have an app.
Right.
So I have three apps. Curtis is clapping his hands. I have three apps on my phone. And you know what? They actually work. So I guess apps work.
You can use... Do you go to Target, Carl? You can get the Target app, and you can save a lot of money.
Actually, I like Target.
I know.
Target's a really great store.
They have a Cartwheel app, and I say...
They have a what app?
It's called Cartwheel.
Do you know that I can do a cartwheel?
I would like to see that.
I'll do it, and you can film it, and we can play it on a... what do you call that? FaceTime Live? What is it called?
Yep.
What is it called?
Well, I don't know if anybody is interested in seeing that or not.
I think some of our listeners would like to see me do a cartwheel. I can do a perfect cartwheel. You know, I was a gymnast.
That was a long time ago,
I can
though.
Still do a cartwheel. I can stand on my... I can walk on my hands.
Really?
Yeah, I can walk on my hands.
Okay, well, we'll have to... We'll have to just picture that in our mind.
I'm pretty proud of that, too.
We're all very good at picturing things in our mind.
I can walk on my hands, and I can do a perfect
That's
cartwheel.
That's good. You're still strong.
Yeah. All right, we are listening to Suspense with Raymond Burr. Let's go back to December 21st, 1958 for the conclusion now of Out for Christmas on Suspense.
Holiday hustle make you queasy, stomach nervous and uneasy, then...
Doodle, you know about the little white tablet and the little green pocket roll. Just a-waiting for the moment when you need 'em to bring your acid indigestion under control. Tums are the little white tablets in the little green pocket roll. Tums for the tummy, T-U-M-S. Bring relief quicker than you'd ever guess. Best for any kind of acid distress. Keep them handy in the pocket roll. Keep your tummy under Tums control.
Yes, during the busy, bustling season, get quick relief from annoying acid indigestion. Always carry Tums, 10 cents, 3-roll pack, a quarter. Or get the new 6-roll pack with free metal carrier, 49 cents.
And now, starring Mr. Raymond Burr, Act 3 of Out for Christmas.
Next day, I did my Christmas shopping for a gun. Last night, I wrapped Charlie's Santa Claus suit into a bundle... Took a bus out to the subdivision where Malloy and Lucille had a house. I ducked into an alley behind the supermarket and pulled on the red suit, whiskers and all. It was going to be so easy, I had to laugh. I couldn't want a better disguise on Christmas Eve for murder. I didn't have any trouble finding the house, little box of a house like all the others in the street and decorated with colored lights like all the others. Nobody saw me, even if they had. Who is a better right than Santa Claus to be on the streets Christmas Eve? The gun felt cold in my pocket as I closed my fist around it and pushed the bell. Even it was wired for Christmas.
Yes?
Merry Christmas.
Why, it's Santa Claus.
Aren't you going to ask me in?
Well, my husband isn't home yet.
That's all right. I'll come in and wait for him.
I don't understand.
If you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore, Lucille, you ought to.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize my voice?
You sound like...
Joe.
Oh, no.
Good old Joe. He was going to wait for me, no matter how long it took.
Joe, I thought you were...
In the cooler for keeps, I told you I'd come back for you. Here I am.
Well, you're too late, Joe.
Yeah, so I hear. How come you didn't wait, Lucille?
I fell in love.
With the guy who sent me to prison? Well, a no good cop?
He didn't send you to prison, Joe. You were guilty.
I'd have beat the rap if he hadn't testified the way he did.
He had to testify that way. He was only telling the truth.
Yeah, so he could get me out of the way and steal my girl.
Joe, you've got things all twisted. It all happened afterwards. I only met him at your trial. We fell in love afterwards.
When I couldn't protect myself.
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry. It just happened.
You're telling me. Where is the fuzz?
Who?
The copper, your old man.
He's still on duty.
Working overtime to put the arm on some stiff on Christmas Eve. When will he be home?
I expect him any time now.
Good. I'm going to be glad to see him.
Why, when you hate him so?
You see, I promised him something. Didn't he ever tell you?
No.
I promised to kill him when I got out.
Joe.
Tonight's the night, see?
Well, you mean it. You've got a gun.
Sure, I got a gun. And I'm going to use it. On both of you.
Both of us?
You both double-crossed me. I could kill you first, but... I think I'll wait till your old man comes home. Ought to be interesting to see how he acts. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he tried to make a deal with me.
A deal?
Yeah, like shoot my wife but let me go free.
What a terrible thing to say.
You'll see what kind of a creep you married.
Joe, do it then. But do it because I ask you. Kill me and let him go.
Ah. I come to get you both. And I'm going to get you both. Together. How about some music while we're waiting? Turn on the radio. Go on, turn it on. He made you happy, Lucy?
Yeah, Joe. Very.
You made him happy?
I hope so.
That's nice. Because tonight you're both going to make me happy. By becoming very dead.
It's too loud.
What's that?
Oh, little Lucy, the radio woke her.
You got kids?
Yeah.
Where you going?
I had to look in on her and quiet
her. Don't try nothing funny. I'll be right behind you.
Oh, there now, honey. There. It's all right. Mommy just turned the radio on too loud.
I'm scared, Mommy. Oh. Mommy, look behind you. It's Santa Claus.
Yes, dear, Santa Claus.
Oh, Mikey! Mikey, wake up! Mikey, look, it's Santa Claus!
Santa Claus? Santa Claus? I want to see Santa Claus!
And now, starring Mr. Raymond Burr, Act 4 of Out for Christmas.
Did used that time to jam the gun back into my pocket before those two kids were wide awake and all over me, grabbing at my red suit, pulling at my phony whiskers, pushing me into a chair.
Did you bring me a present, Santa Claus?
Did you wear your reindeer, Santa?
Sit down, Mike. You don't want to sit on his lap.
Oh, we'll get rid of these kids.
Oh, I can't. Where's my present, Santa?
Well, what
did you do with the reindeers?
Well, they're parked outside, Mikey, on the roof.
Did you come down the chimney?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Why aren't you closer?
Didn't the fire burn you?
Well, no, you see, it's an asbestos suit. Mm. Now, listen, you kids ought to go back to bed.
Oh, no, Santa, please, we want our presents.
I
want
to see the reindeer.
Well, see, you've got to get them off me.
They're so excited, Joe, they've never entertained Santa Claus before.
I ain't no Santa Claus.
To them you are.
Yeah.
Santa Claus?
What?
I want to kiss you.
Me too.
Yeah, all right, you kids. Now listen to me.
Yes, Santa Claus, I'm listening.
Me too.
You gotta go back to bed now.
Well, I want my present.
Me too.
You'll get your presents in the morning when you wake up. There they'll be under the tree.
You promise?
I promise. Now, you run off to bed. Now, Connor, I gotta get going. You wouldn't want the other boys and girls to miss their presents because I've been goofing off with you, would you?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be fair.
All right, then. Off to bed you go.
All right. Come on, Mikey. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Me too.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, kids. And good night.
Good night. Come on, Mikey.
Oh, Joe. They'll never forget that.
Yeah. Neither will I.
Merry Christmas, honey. I'm sorry I'm late. Hey, what's this?
It's Joe Watson, Mike.
Joe Watson? What the devil are you doing here?
He came to kill us.
What?
Take it easy, Mike. Here's my gun.
You changed your mind?
Your kids changed my mind.
They thought he was really Santa Claus, darling. They were so excited.
Now, Mike, you can send me up again. Better to go back for a parole violation, I guess, than for murder.
Well, wait a minute. You gotta have a complaining witness. You want to make a complaint, Lucille?
No, Mike. I want to thank Joe for giving the kids the best Christmas of their lives.
Well, I haven't any complaint, then. Merry Christmas, Joe.
I still say Christmas is for people who don't know no better. Like kids and idiots. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Suspense, in which Raymond Burr starred in Out for Christmas, written, produced, and directed by William N. Robeson. In just a moment, the names of the supporting players and a word about next week's story of suspense.
Christmas Eve on CBS Radio, Bing Crosby invites you to celebrate Christmas with the world on our fourth annual Christmas Sing with Bing. With Bing as your guide and CBS Radio as your magic carpet, you'll visit Rome to hear the Vatican Choir. There, too, you'll hear the sound of the bells of St. Peter's as they ring for the holiday mass. On our Christmas Sing with Bing, you'll visit New York and Salt Lake City, Canada, Australia, Holland, France, even places like Hawaii, Alaska, and the Fiji Islands, where carolers and choirs will be waiting to sing the traditional Christmas songs with you. To add to the excitement this year, Mrs. Bing Crosby, Catherine Grant, will be at her husband's side. Whether you spend Christmas Eve at home or out on the highway heading for a holiday destination, join us right here on CBS Radio as most of these same stations present our fourth annual Christmas Sing with Bing.
Supporting Raymond Burr in Out for Christmas were Joan Banks, Lillian Bieff, Charles Seal, Carl Swenson, Howard McNear, and Dick Beals. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with Mr. Frank Lovejoy, starring in The 32nd of December, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
There you have it. Great Christmas story on suspense. What do you think of that, Lisa?
It was a great story.
You know, the only thing, if I have to, I would give that a 9 out of 10. If 10 is that, like, for instance, like Linogen versus the Ants, which is an escape episode, one of the best. I give that a 10.
I know what you're going to say.
Sorry, Wrong Numbers, a 10.
It's a 10.
On a Country Road is a 10.
I know
House
what you're going
Cypress
to say.
House in Cypress Canyon is a 10. This show would be a 10. Were it not for what?
The kids.
Yeah, because those weren't real kids. Those were adults playing kids.
And adults.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't sound like
Although
children.
Dick Beals, who was in this cast, who did that for a living, played like he was an adult, but he his voice was very high, and he was a little person. Mm. Right?
Oh, but the inflections are different.
But here's the
you
thing.
You can still feel
the
maturity.
He was playing... When he would play a teenage boy or like a young boy, but that was like a really young boy,
it was
and
a
it didn't.
Kid.
So that's the only critique I have on the show. Other than that, perfect program, great show. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
What'd you think? What are you doing? What you doing?
You'll
there?
See.
What you doing, Lisa?
You'll see. Just
what you doing there, Willis?
Just preparing for the next.
She's
segment.
Preparing. So we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning on Saturdays, and from 11 p.m. till 1 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. However, tomorrow we are going to be preempted by 1 hour. We're not starting till midnight tomorrow.
But we will be here.
Yeah.
And we will be playing
Phil Harris and Al's Fate,
which is a great show.
Yeah, so we're only on for 1 hour tomorrow, folks. Sorry.
But we need you with us. And you know what? We're still going to play our Real or Ridiculous, and we're going to be giving away a great prize.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you yet
you
what it is.
You don't want to tell people?
Should I?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be giving away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, which is
Lou Malnati's.
A great prize. As soon as I say pizza, I get all kind of excited and hungry inside for pizza. That's just my favorite all-time food, hands down, pizza.
Man, I'll tell you. All right,
that's the best.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Pointed.
Let's play a Christmas song. Want to, Lisa?
Sure, Carl.
It's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
And let's not play one that's controversial.
Yeah, no, this one, this is a fun song. This is Eartha Kitt with Santa Baby.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa write a cutie and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Tonight.
She wants a ring, but not the kind on the phone, Lisa.
She wants some extravagant gifts.
She does.
Carl.
She wants a yacht, a deed to a platinum mine.
She wants a Tiffany,
car, 54 car, because this song was written in 53. So she wanted a brand new car, even not even one out
she
yet.
She said it said sables. I assume that's like a fur coat.
But you know what? Coat. She probably was worth it.
I think
she sounds like she was worth it.
Yeah,
well, Santa's loaded.
Yeah.
He's doing good.
Yeah, he's doing
fine.
Great.
All right. Well, in our next hour, Eve Arden stars as our Miss Brooks. You won't want to miss that. And that's coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
It's a balmy 20 out there, Lisa.
It feels nice and warm in here.
Yeah. All right. In this hour, our Miss Brooks, Eve Arden starring in a Christmas clothing drive from 1950. Good show. Very funny show. But first, we're going to play our game. Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
This game is real and the celebrity is Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So get your Al Pacino knowledge on. And if you are the correct caller, which will be caller number 5, you will be winning the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
All right, call 312-981-7200. Call now. Play the game live on the air with us.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We have Mac on the phone to play with us. Hey, Mac, how are you?
Fine. How are you guys?
Good. So glad you made it through.
Hi, Mac.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, Mac.
And a Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Use the gas. You
guys and girls, we're going to play a little Al Pacino, Real or Ridiculous. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Okie dokie. The first statement, Al Pacino dropped out of school at age 17. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'll say real because I'd say real.
Real. Carl?
Ridiculous.
It is real, Mac. You are on the board.
Oh, good.
Way to go, Mac.
All right, number 2. Al Pacino worked as a stand-up comic early in his career. Yeah. Is that real or ridiculous?
I would say that real because he looked like he would make a good comic.
He sure does.
Really does.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
It's real.
I stink at this game.
Mac is doing great. Okay, number 3. Al Pacino is an avid William Shakespeare fan. Is that real or ridiculous?
He played Richard III, and he did a beautiful job. I would say true.
Mac knows what he's talking about. I'm going with
I think you better start agreeing with Mac, because you are right. You got 3 out of 3. You are big winner of the night, and you have won a desktop indoor weather station. It is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Mac, I can't tell you how many people have texted in, not just tonight, but every week, asking how to get the desktop indoor weather station, so I hope that you enjoy it.
Thank you. I just have one thing to say.
Sure.
Thank you very much. I'm 78, and I appreciate everything you guys do, Carl and you, and I forget the other gentleman's name who gives the news. He's a nice guy, and really thanks a lot for everything.
That is so nice. Roger's usually here. He's not here this week, and we've got Don filling in, who's doing a great job, too, but we'll give him that. And thank you so much. You have a very young voice, too.
No, I'm 78 years old.
Well, you sound
way to go, Mac. Thank you, buddy.
About being young. You know, it's there. Oh, thank you, Carl.
You're welcome.
God bless
man.
All you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless you, buddy. All right. Well, we're listening to all your favorite classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night. We're here. We start at 11 p.m., although tomorrow, or I should say tonight, we are not going to be on at 11. We're on at midnight, and we will have Phil Harris and Alice Faye show for you. So don't miss that. We're being preempted 1 hour because of, I think, football. I think Bears football coverage.
But we will be on at midnight, and we hope you'll stay with us, and we're going to play a game. We're going to give away prizes, and we're still going to play Phil Harris and Alice Faye, and we need you guys with us.
Yeah, that's right. But right now, we are going to tune into Our Miss Brooks, great situation comedy series. Came to CBS Radio in 1948. And, you know, Eve Arden was not CBS's first pick to play Our Miss Brooks. They first went after Lucille Ball. They wanted Lucille Ball for this part. She was busy, though. She was on the radio doing My Favorite Husband. Then they went to Shirley Booth and even recorded a pilot episode. You know, remember Hazel, the TV series?
Sure.
Shirley Booth, she was the first, or I should say the second pick for Connie Brooks. But then they didn't like the way it sounded. They did not move forward with Shirley Booth as Connie Brooks. And then they thought, you know what? Eve Arden, she'd be great. And was she ever? She really made the role her own. And we have an episode now from December 17th, 1950. This is called the Christmas Clothing Drive. Here's Eve Arden in part one of Our Miss Brooks.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, in the years Our Miss Brooks has been teaching English at Madison High School, her principal, Osgood Conklin, has made his own appraisal of her worth. Now, whenever a position of responsibility is open at Madison, Miss Brooks is the first name that pops into Mr. Conklin's mind.
That's so he can pop it right out again. Oddly enough, though, he did put me in charge of Madison's Christmas drive for secondhand clothing. I discussed my new duties with my landlady over breakfast last Friday.
But, Connie, Christmas is only 10 days off. Why did Mr. Conklin wait until now to start his clothing drive?
I guess he couldn't make up his mind about one important item, Mrs. Davis.
What's that?
Whether he should organize the teachers to get clothes for the needy, or organize the needy to get clothes for the teachers. But it is a good cause.
What are you donating, Connie?
I'm giving an old dress of mine, Mrs. Davis.
But you're the head of the drive. Is one dress enough?
I was going to give two, Mrs. Davis, but I remembered a Board of Education rule that says a teacher can't appear in public in a slip.
Well, I'm going to help out, too, Connie. I've got my donation right on this chair.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Mrs. Davis.
I couldn't decide whether to give my old bathrobe or my old overcoat to the drive, but I finally made up my mind. Here you are, dear.
Say, this bathrobe is in pretty good condition.
That's the overcoat.
Oh, well, I'd better get ready to leave. Walter Denton's picking me up soon.
Well, before you go, Connie, do you still plan on doing your Christmas shopping this afternoon?
Oh, yes, indeed, Mrs. Davis. I've got the $25 I saved up this year right in this envelope.
Good. I made out a little Christmas list of my own. I figured that with you being downtown anyway and me having so many things to do around the house, you wouldn't mind making a few simple purchases for me.
Oh, I'll be glad to, Mrs. Davis. What do you want me to get?
I've got the names and the presents all itemized, Connie, and here's $25 I've saved up.
How many presents do you want me to get?
Just for the immediate family. My sister Angela, my brother Victor, a couple of cousins. It only comes to 12 gifts altogether. Are you sure you don't mind doing my shopping for me, Connie?
Not at all, Mrs. Davis. I just have one problem.
What's that?
Who'll I get to do mine? It was very nice of you to secure these old clothes from your friends and neighbors, Walter. You must have put in quite a lot of effort into this drive.
For sweet charity and you, I'd bust a gut.
What?
Never, please. The word is burst.
Sorry. But how do you like my contribution, Miss Brooks?
It's lovely, Walter. Some old lady will be delighted with this lace shawl.
That's my old sweatshirt. I guess some moths took a taste of it.
Some moths left a taste of it. Thanks for the contribution.
Well, that's not all I'm doing for your drive, Miss Brooks. Wait till you see the headline in the school paper today.
The Monitor? What does it say?
It says, Miss Brooks needs clothes desperately. Does that sound urgent enough, Miss Brooks?
Urgent? Sounds like I was caught backstage at a burlesque show. But I appreciate your interest in this drive, Walter, and if there's ever anything I can do to reciprocate...
There he is, Miss Brooks. You see, I haven't bought Harriet Conklin her Christmas present yet, and I thought maybe you could make a suggestion.
Well, what kind of a present do you have in mind?
Well, I want something that appears luxurious without being excessively opulent. Something steeped in gentility rather than touched by flamboyance. In a word, it should be a gift that conveys to its recipient all the ardor and sincerity of its meticulous donor.
How much do you want to spend?
A buck and a quarter.
Why don't you just send her your description of what the gift should be like? I'll try and help you out, though, Walter. I'm doing my Christmas shopping this afternoon. Maybe I'll get an idea.
Miss Brooks, did you say that you're going shopping today?
I get the feeling that yes would be a fatal answer here. But yes, Walter, I am.
Well, what a fortunate coincidence. Now, what could be simpler than to leave the selection of Harriet's present up to you?
But, Walter, I've got so many
You'll
things.
Be passing the store counters anyway, Miss Brooks. And who has a finer taste than you have? Who has a better sense of values? An eye for beauty?
Walter, you ought to know me well enough by now to realize that flattery will get you somewhere.
I knew you'd do it. Oh, I can't think of anyone I'd rather have select presents for Harriet and my mother.
Well, I figured... Wait a minute, who raised?
It'll be a cinch, Miss Brooks. Well, my mother is very easily pleased.
That's obvious.
After all, who knows women and their desires better than you do? And while you're there, you can get my father's present, too.
Why, Walter, you're implying that I know men and their desires, too.
Do you know men? Oh, Miss Brooks, when it comes to men, no one even comes near you.
Don't rub it in.
Here, Miss Brooks, take this $5 bill and put it in your bag.
All right, Walter. Oh, dear, I forgot my bag. I'll just put it in this envelope with the other money.
I'm sure grateful for this favor, Miss Brooks. I know you wouldn't do this for just anybody.
You're right, Walter. This year, I'm doing it for just everybody. Why, hello, Mr. Boynton. What brings you to first-year English?
Miss Brooks, I've got something for you.
Well, it took you long enough to find it out. You mean those clothes.
Yes, I brought some things in for the drive. Something of mine and a suit of Mr. Conklin's. He asked me to bring it in before your first class starts.
Oh, we've got minutes yet, Mr. Boynton. Just put them down with the rest of the things.
Okay. Say, that's quite a stack you've got there.
I know, I've been dieting.
I was talking about the pile of clothes. I wish I could have given more to the Christmas drive than I did, Miss Brooks.
I think you've made a splendid contribution, Mr. Boynton.
You do?
Some shivering derelict will be tickled with those tennis shorts.
Those are slacks, Miss Brooks. It's just the way they're folded. I'd like to have given a suit like this one Mr. Conklin donated. This still has plenty of wear in it.
It does seem to be in pretty good shape.
I'll say it does. Why, with a little fixing here and there, a few alterations, a good cleaning and pressing...
Get that look out of your eye. He'd recognize it on you in a minute. By the way, where's your jacket?
Oh, this bundle was pretty heavy, so I left it in the lab. I can work better this way, if you'll forgive my shirt sleeves. Now, can I help you sort these clothes?
Oh, no thanks, Mr. Boynton. They'll do that at the mission. They're sending a truck for the stuff around lunchtime. At least I hope it gets here by then. I don't want to get tied up this afternoon. I have a lot of Christmas shopping to do.
Oh, I see. Miss Brooks, could I ask you something?
I do. I mean... Mr. Barney.
You say you're going to do your Christmas shopping this afternoon?
What in the world gave you that idea?
I just said so.
Me and my big mouth. Well, I am going to shop, Mr. Boynton, but
I don't...
Oh,
what a fortunate coincidence. I've got to clean up my lab today, and, well, if you're going to be downtown anyway, what would be simpler than to leave the selection of my parents' gifts to you?
Mr. Boynton, I simply won't have time.
Oh,
I'm
Miss
sorry.
Brooks, you'll be passing the store counters anyway, and who has finer taste than you have?
Who has a better sense of values or an eye for beauty?
Well, who indeed? Now, I can't think of anyone who would know better what my parents and my Aunt Mattie and Uncle Fred would like.
Aunt Mattie and Uncle Fred?
They're Cousin Liza's parents. Oh, she's on the list, too, right after Mike and Danny, my twin nephews.
Well, what about your Boy Scout troop? Don't you want me to get presents for them?
Will you have time?
Sure, I stay open late during the holidays. Look, Mr. Boynton, I'll get as much of your shopping done as I possibly can.
Oh, fine. Here's the list, Miss Brooks, and here's $20.
Oh, I'll just slip it into this envelope with Mrs. Davis's and Walter's and my money.
Walter and Mrs. Davis have money in there, too?
Yes, they've also subscribed to the Brooks Shopping Service. Now, I've got to get over to the home economics room. The kids in there were supposed to collect some stuff for the drive, too.
Well, I'll give you a hand, Miss Brooks.
I'll take it. Oh. First, I'd better put this envelope in my desk. Oh, dear, it's locked, and I've left the key at home in my bag. Would you mind putting the envelope in your trouser pocket, Mr. Boynton?
Well, this is a trifle embarrassing, Miss Brooks, but I'm afraid I've got holes in all my pockets. I'm still a bachelor, you know.
I know. I mean, that's easily remedied, Mr. Boynton.
Well, of course it is. While we're in the home economics room, you can sew up the pockets.
That's not what I had in mind, but it's a start. Meanwhile, I'll just put this envelope in the breast pocket of Mr. Conklin's suit on top of this pile. It'll be safe here for a few minutes.
Well, it's safer than carrying it around, I guess.
All set. Come on, Mr. Boynton. We're off to get domestic. I hope they've got a nice batch of stuff in there. Mr. Conklin expects to surpass last year.
Here's the bundles, Harriet. Oh, but there's no sign of Miss Brooks. I guess the people from the mission got here sooner than she expected.
I guess so.
Now, come on. Let's haul this stuff out to their truck.
But, Walter, don't you think we should consult Miss Brooks before we take it?
Why bother her about it? She knows where it's going. Besides, we're saving her the trouble of carrying this stuff out herself.
Well, if you think so, Walter...
Believe me, when Miss Brooks finds out what we've done for her, she'll thank us till she's blue in the face.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream. It cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best. More than 2 years research showed the Colgate way of brushing teeth right after eating helps stop more decay for more people than ever before reported in dentifrice history. Yes, the Colgate way stopped tooth decay best, better than any other home method of oral hygiene. No other dentifrice, ammoniated or not, has proof of such results. And you should know that Colgate's, while not mentioned by name, was the one and only toothpaste used in the research on tooth decay recently reported in Reader's Digest. So always follow the Colgate way to clean your breath while you clean your teeth. And stop tooth decay best.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream. It cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best.
What a toothpaste. I could have been that guy.
Let's
what
hear.
What a toothpaste. Well,
keep going.
And you would have been the girl singing, and I would have been like, what a toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have done that.
Yeah, we're good at that.
Dentifrice.
Dentifrice.
You know, we get some dentifrice done to your teeth.
No, dentifrice.
Get some dentifrice. Speaking of that, I think I have a cleaning coming up pretty soon.
Well, I just had one, which means
really?
That you're probably late.
Yeah. I do three or four a year.
Yeah, we both
do. I do three a year, I think.
Yeah, I go every 4 months.
Yeah, every 4 months. So,
yeah.
I'm just a little crazy.
We like our
just a little crazy about
teeth.
That. Yeah, this is a fun. R.S. Brooks was always a great show. Yeah. It was always fun. And this is a December 17th, 1950 show. It's all about Madison's Christmas clothing drive. And what a cast. Eve Arden, of course, starring. But then you had Gloria McMillan. Richard Crenna, what a great guy. I interviewed him. Just a terrific guy. Gail Gordon, who was Lucille Ball's foil for years as Mr. Mooney on TV. Jeff Chandler, who was a rising star in Hollywood, and he died young, Lisa. This guy died, I think, going in for a routine surgery, and something went wrong in the surgery. Jane Morgan and Parley Bear. Now, Parley Bear was the Keebler elf. Remember the main Keebler elf for years? And, of course, he was the mayor on the Andy Griffith Show. Did a lot of tons and tons of radio. He was Chester Proudfoot on Gunsmoke. So great cast in this Our Miss Brooks broadcast. And we'll get back to it in just a few moments. It's that time of year, Lisa.
I'm simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah. We're playing all Christmas shows. Oh, that's a great song.
It is good.
We are playing Christmas classic radio shows all the way until Christmas. Doesn't it make sense? I don't think we should go past Christmas.
Yeah, but usually
Christmas
don't do
that.
Things that make sense. So it's a little surprising.
Yeah. And then we'll have a little some New Year's Eve and New Year's Day shows. And then we're into our regular season, 2019. Gosh, I'm glad I'm getting younger, you know?
Yeah.
I went up to 39 like Jack Benny.
You
and
could use a little.
Now I'm down to like 22.
Younger.
We're listening to Our Miss Brooks. Let's go back to December 17th, 1950 for the conclusion.
When I got back to my room and discovered the absence of Mr. Conklin's suit containing $75 belonging to Walter, Mrs. Davis, Mr. Boynton, and me, I was fit, as the old expression goes, to be tied. The suit itself wasn't worth it anywhere near $75. In fact, no suit of Mr. Conklin's is worth that much money, even with him in it. But my problem now was getting it back, and in my first free period, I headed for the biology lab to consult Mr. Boynton.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Conklin. You startled me.
Really? But I addressed you in quite a well-modulated tone.
I guess that's what startled me. That is, I didn't see you sidle out of your office.
I don't sidle, Miss Brooks. There's absolutely no necessity for me to pussyfoot through the halls of Madison.
Oh, I know it's not a necessity, Mr. Conklin. It's sort of a luxury. I'm a little upset this morning, sir, about the clothing drive.
But I understand you've done a splendid job. In fact, I stepped out here to congratulate you on vindicating my confidence in you.
Well, that's very nice, Mr. Conklin, but
it didn't take me long to select the right person to head the Christmas drive, Miss Brooks. The moment the idea of old clothes hit me, I thought of you.
I was a natural, all right.
Of course, I gave other members of the faculty my careful consideration, too. But it wasn't long before I said to myself, Osgood, Miss Brooks is your man.
Isn't it funny? That's how Mr. Boynton feels about me, too. Look, Mr. Conklin, there's something I've got to do
Of course, I wouldn't keep you from your work for the world. Especially such charitable work, Miss Brooks. If more of us could realize what genuine satisfaction the spirit of giving evokes, the world would be a brighter place.
Well, I'm brightening my little corner like mad.
This is a great thing we're doing, Miss Brooks, giving to our fellow man. This is the true Christmas feeling, and we must all give, give, give until it hurts.
It hurts, it hurts. Please, Miss Conklin, if you'll excuse me, I've got...
I wouldn't think of detaining you another minute. Oh, before you go, how did you like my contribution to the drive?
Wonderful, Mr. Conklin. It's a very nice suit.
I'll say it was nice. And it still had several years' wear in it. I just bought it in 46.
1946? I mean, you can tell it's quite new.
Outside of a few battle scars, it hardly looked secondhand.
Battle scars?
Yes. Yes, like the time you spilled a bottle of ink on it. Not all of the ink could be removed.
Oh, but that wasn't even noticeable, Mr. Conklin.
No, no, it wasn't. After I had the suit dyed from brown to blue. However, that suit always held something for me.
It's loaded for me. That's what I've got to find out about, Mr. Conklin. You see, I left something in the pocket, and, well, I've just got to get back that suit.
But you can't do that, Miss Brooks. Once I've made a donation, I never take it back. How would it look to the folks at the mission?
But there's no way for them to tell your suit from any of the others.
Oh, but there is. My name is stenciled into the lining. Not that I wanted anyone to know I was giving, of course.
You just didn't want anyone not to know.
Oh, Daddy, there's a call for you in your office. Will you get it?
I'll call them back, Harriet.
But it's Mother. She says it's urgent.
With your mother, it's always urgent. Probably wants me to bring home a paper.
You'd better talk to her, Mr. Conklin. I'm going in to see Mr. Boynton about our predicament.
Very well, Miss Brooks, but remember, it is better to give than to receive.
That may be, Mr. Conklin, but if I may show off my background in English literature, there's another famous parable which goes, as good as it is to give, it's better to get back that which ain't yours to give.
What a fuss to make over a few dollars. Some people are just mercenary, I guess. Hello. Yes, Martha, what is it? Have I had your necklace repaired yet? I don't remember your giving it to me. What? You put it in the pocket of my blue suit Wednesday night? Martha, was that my brown-dyed blue suit? It was. But I donated that to the Christmas clothing drive today. And that necklace had a genuine opal in it. I've got to get it back. I'm not excited. No. Now, don't give me that bull about charity. I'll get that suit back if I have to rip the mission apart with my bare hands.
Come in.
Oh, I'm glad I caught you before you went to lunch, Mr. Boynton.
I was just cleaning up the lab, Miss Brooks. What's the trouble?
Mr. Conklin's suit has been picked up and delivered to the mission.
Oh, that's nothing to get excited about. It's supposed to go there, isn't it?
Yes, but the money is still in it. I don't know what to do.
Well, now, take it easy, Miss Brooks. What money is still in it?
The shopping money. Mine, Mrs. Davis's, Walter's, and yours.
I must have tripped over the stool. What time are they going to distribute this clothing, Miss Brooks?
This afternoon, Mr. Boynton. We've just got to get down to that mission and get the suit back.
Well, are you sure you could identify Mr. Conklin's suit?
With the things I've spilled on it, if I can't identify it, it'll identify me. How are we going to go about getting it?
Well, we'll simply park outside the mission and watch every person who leaves the premises. In that way, we're bound to see who walks out with Mr. Conklin's suit on. The rest is up to you.
What do I do? Pick his pocket while he waits for a bus?
Please, Miss Brooks, we'll devise some sort of scheme on the way downtown. Now, meanwhile, let's be calm about it. It isn't the end of the world, even if we fail to recover the money. Heaven forfend. You've looked through this mission window for 10 minutes now, Miss Brooks. Have you seen Mr. Conklin's suit yet?
No, but I spotted the dress I donated, and I've been following its progress.
What's happened to it?
It's been rejected 3 times.
Say, isn't that Mr. Conklin's suit heading for the door?
Alone? Oh, you mean on that little man? Yes, I think it is. You better get on the other side of the door.
Oh, don't worry, Miss Brooks. I'll do my part to help get it back. Now, good luck.
Oh, pardon me, my good man.
Yeah?
May I speak with you for just a moment?
Yeah?
It's about that suit you've got on. Are you quite satisfied with it?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, but look at the way it fits. If I were you, I'd take it back at once.
What do you want me to do, go around in my underwear?
Yeah. I mean, of course. Maybe you could get a better another one. Now, there's no reason why you shouldn't do every bit as well as this man coming toward us now. I'm sure he got his suit in the mission. Pardon me, Bud, but did you get that suit at the counter inside?
Yeah.
It's contagious. You say that's a mission suit you've got on.
Well, sure, I just got it.
Boy, were you gypped.
Gypped? You mean to say you wouldn't like to look like he does?
If I wanted to look like he does, I wouldn't have turned in the suit they're burning.
Well, I didn't want to mention this, but I guess I'll have to. Do you know who wore that suit before you as recently as last Wednesday?
Who?
I don't want to come right out and say, but, well, the fellow had his hands crossed on his chest with a lily in them.
A stiff, huh?
Let's just say he wasn't very active.
Now, don't you think you ought to trade that suit in for another one? After all, its last owner might not like the idea of your wearing it. He might come back after it.
Baloney. I don't believe in that kind of stuff.
Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton, I've got to talk to you at once.
Why, Mr. Conklin, what are you doing here?
I've had a change of heart about my donation. I'd like to get it back.
Boy, what an Indian giver.
I don't believe I know you, my good man.
Ferguson's the name. Cosmo Ferguson.
How do you do?
But, Mr. Conklin, why do you want your suit back?
Because of something that my wife put Ferguson, you're wearing my suit.
What do you mean, your suit?
I happen to have worn that garment as recently as last Wednesday.
Holy cow, it's a stiff.
What's that?
This lady said the suit was on a dead guy last Wednesday.
I must have caught you while you were dozing, Mr. Conklin.
Look, I've just got to have that suit back. It has a sentimental attraction for me. Be a good fellow and return it.
Nothing doing. I was handed this suit and told it was mine to keep. Now I'm leaving.
Wait. I'll get you another suit. Please, Mr. Ferguson, be reasonable.
No.
Oh, come on, Cosmo. You don't want that old suit.
Of course you don't.
Give it here.
Take your hands off of me, Pompous, or there'll be trouble.
That's the idea. You and him fight. I'll hold your coat.
I'm not gonna fight. I'm just going.
No, wait. I'll give you $5 for that suit.
I'm staying.
I'll give you $6 for it.
Miss Brooks, why are you bidding for this suit?
It's got a sentimental attraction for me, too. I've spilled more on that suit than any of your others.
I'll give you $10.
$12.
$18.
$19.
Gee, and I always thought they just sang songs at Mission.
I'll bid $20.
$25.
$30.
Mr. Conklin, did you bid $30 for this old suit?
Yes, I guess I did. Let's make that 27.
22.
17.
11.
Wait a minute now. I accept the lady's previous offer of 25.
But how do you know she has the money to pay for it?
Have you?
I will have as soon as I get that coat.
Just a minute. I'll give you $25 and the suit I've got on for that one.
It's a deal. Let's go inside and change.
We can do that later. Let's change coats immediately.
Okay. You know, I might parlay this mission business into a clothing factory.
Oh, Miss Brooks. Hi, everybody.
Walter.
Well, I'm all through helping out in the mission. How'd you like the way I handle things?
Oh, you were divine, Walter. But I can't talk to you right now. There's a matter of $75 I've got to recover. Mr. Conklin, now that you've changed coats, would you mind looking through the pockets, please?
It's just what I am doing, Miss Brooks, and I'd better find... It's not here.
But it was in the inside breast pocket, Mr. Conklin.
No, it was not. It was in the side pocket.
Oh, you're both wrong. Hmm? Harriet and I went through the pockets before we turned it into the mission people. We found Mrs. Conklin's necklace and all our shopping money, Miss Brooks.
What? Ferguson, give me back that coat.
Not a chance. I'm getting out of here. You people are all daft.
But my $25. A new suit. Ferguson, wait. Cosmo, we'll make another deal.
Now, what's the matter with old Marblehead? Mr. Conklin, why is he running after that bum?
You tell him, Miss Brooks.
All I can say is it's definitely better to give than to get, especially where Cosmo's going to get it.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Cosmo didn't get very far because Mr. Conklin hit him with a flying tackle, recovered his coat and the money, and left. But Mr. Boynton and I felt so sorry for Cosmo that we chipped in and gave him $2.
Gee, thanks, folks.
Oh, you're very welcome, Cosmo. Merry Christmas. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get on with my Christmas shopping.
Oh, are you going to do your Christmas shopping now, Miss Brooks?
Yes, I am.
Well, if you're going to be in the stores anyway, would you take this $2 and get something for me?
Well, what do you want, Cosmo?
A set of brass knuckles and Mr. Conklin's address.
Why, I'm surprised at you, Cosmo. Spending $2 for brass knuckles. For 49 cents, you can get a hammer.
Reminding you to tune in next week to another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, and Parley Bayer. If you like mysteries that are as full of chuckles as chills, be sure to hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday over this same network. Don't miss the exciting and laughable adventures of these amateur detectives. Hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday night, and be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamont speaking. Stay tuned now for Jack Benny. This is CBS, Columbia Broadcasting System.
It's always a great time to hear Our Miss Brooks. What a terrific series. December 17th, 1950, Eve Arden starring as Our Miss Brooks. Of course, it made a very successful transition to television. Not all of these classic radio shows made the transition to television. Many, many did, but not all of them. And some of them were not as successful on TV. But Our Miss Brooks definitely was as successful on television as it was on radio. It was on TV a long, long time. And, of course, Eve Arden will always be known as Connie Brooks, 10th grade English teacher of Madison High School. And hope you enjoyed that fun broadcast.